So Rabbi Shimon actually didn't write anything. It was Rabbi Abba who took all the teachings and started writing it down. The Zohar is broken into different parts. Most of the Zohar is just on the Torah. It's not organized in a different way. Rather, it's organized by the parashot. Then there's, of course, the Tikkuni HaZohar that came after that, and there's different additions to the Zohar. We're going to start learning from the weekly parasha. And not always it's referring to specifically about something from the parasha. It's not that we're going to learn necessarily secrets of the parasha from the Zohar, but it's organized in an order based on the parashot HaShavua. We're going to try to do every week one parasha. I mean, if we do 5 days a week a class before Arvit, I think if there's not going to be too much explanations and questions, we might be able to do. Let's see how it goes. I mean, we'll start. I mean, this is with commentary, just for Vaigash. I think we can do it. We'll try. But we're going to read the Aramaic, then translate, then explain a little bit. We'll see how it goes. In worst case, we'll just add more time to the class. I mean, now we're starting a little bit later than what I wanted. But at least we start. And of course, maybe at some point we'll get some more copies. And what way everybody can participate and look. And eventually, anyways, we want to get very advanced and have screens on the table with iPads and a camera on the actual book, and you can actually see what I'm reading. That's at some point. That's the dreams. So, okay. So we're in Parashat Vayigash, and the parasha starts with Vayigash Elav Yehuda, and Yehuda has approached him. We learned in the morning that it's not necessarily that Yehuda approached Yosef, because it just says Vayigash Elav Yehuda, it doesn't say to who. We learned this morning from the Noam Elimelech that it's actually that Yehuda approached Hashem before he went to Yosef. But now we want to explain this verse. This is common to the Zohar that we read Rabbi Elazar Patach. Elazar was the son of Rabbi Shimon. And we will see in many places in the Zohar something like Rabbi Elazar Patach, that Rabbi Elazar has spoken. Patach means to open his mouth, and he started talking. And he starts explaining it. That way we know who from the students said the actual ma'amar. So Rabbi Elazar, that's the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, ki ata avinu, ki Avraham lo yadanu v'Yisrael lo akirenu ata, yud kevav ki avinu goalenu molam shimcha. Translation for us, because you are our father, because Avraham, we didn't know, and Israel, referring to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, we didn't know, but you, Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you are our father, our redeemer, and the world is created from your name. And he said, Haikra Ukmu, this verse, our sages already explained and interpreted. This can be found in the Talmud in Masechet Shabbat. Aval, there is a secret in this verse. Tachaze. Tachaze means come and see. We see that in the Gemara, for example, a lot of the times a sentence will start with Tashma, come and listen. And or Tanu Rabbanan, our sages have taught us. In the Zohar, it's pretty common that it says Ta Chazik. Ta means you, and Chazik, come and look. Even though it's contradicting a little bit the author, because Rabbi Shimon comes from the word Shmiah. It would make more sense that Rabbi Shimon would say Ta Shma, come and listen. Here, Rabbi Shimon is coming on a much deeper level, and he tells you, come and look. Kad Bra Kutsha Brichu. Hu Alma, come and see. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read first, translate, and if we need an explanation, we'll add the explanation. Come and see that when the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, kol yoma veyoma, every day and day, avid avid takidta chazei. Every day Hashem did His action according to what He was planning. And as it says, vayar Elokim kitov, that every day when the melacha, the action was done, it says on that in the Torah, Hashem saw that it's good. He made His creation. He was very happy with what He did. And we move to the next day. Every day He saw that it's good. And then He continued, bechol yoma veyoma, every day. Every day and every day. Kama de'itzlich, every day He did in the creation exactly what was meant for that day. Hashem had an agenda. There was like a work plan. What's going to be done on the first day? What's going to be done on the second day? What's going to be done? It's not that He just said, okay, let's me create a world and let's see what happens. There was a whole organized order. How am I creating what? And when? And every day had a certain a list of actions. For example, you know, the first day Hashem created the heaven and the earth, and then everything that is underneath it, and so forth. Rashi explains on the verse, Vayitzer, Vayipach be'apiv, that Hashem had created man. If you notice, everything from creation was created by Hashem. Vayidaber Hashem, Hashem spoke and He created. The only thing that Hashem created with what was already created was Adam HaRishon. If you remember, I mean, it's not so far away. It was 3 months ago that we read Bereshit. Everything Hashem created from nothing, right? But the only thing that Hashem created with what already existed is Adam HaRishon. He says that He took all the sand from all corners of the world. He mixed some heaven's dew, made, you know, like when we used to be kids, make these things. And after there was a form, Vayipach be'apiv nishmat chayim, that He blew a soul in him. Rashi says that kedei shelo tehe kinah b'maaseh bereshit, in order so nothing will have jealousy to Adam HaRishon, so He made Adam HaRishon in a way that came at the last and was formed with what already was created. Meaning that before the world was created, there was already the concept of jealousy. That there wasn't even human beings yet, and there would be jealousy in the creation, that one can be jealous of the other. I mean, we know that the moon was jealous of the sun, saying, what, there's going to be two kings sharing one crown? We think we have problems with jealousy. Already when the world was created, there was jealousy between something like the moon and the sun that are completely annulled to Hashem. They see Hashem, and they're also jealous. So much more so, we human beings, we can understand why some people get jealous a little bit. But Rashi says the reason why Adam HaRishon was created last, and not only that it was created last, he's the only thing that was created from something that was already existing in the world, so there won't be jealousy. Later on saying, hey, why is he getting all the attention? Why is this little man getting to be called, you know, the supreme of all creatures? So Hashem already was then trying to, you know, calm things down. So there wouldn't be jealousy. That in itself already, if we have to take something from today's class, is how we have to go out of our way not to step on somebody else's toes, so there shouldn't be jealousy by other people. So that in itself is a lesson and a half, because a lot of people, they do things on purpose to make somebody else jealous. See, I got it and not you. So this is already a class in anava, in being humble. Next, kevan de'ata yoma de'shtita'a ve'itztirich limivri adam. Since the sixth day has arrived, Hashem had looked at the masterpiece. Everything is sitting beautiful. Now it's time to create man. I've created everything. I have here sky, water, earth, trees, animals. Everything is lined up perfectly. Now I have to create man. This is the idea behind the creation. But there was a little bit of a problem, because Hashem wanted to create the man mixed, partial coming from the spiritual world and partial coming from the physical world. The body is from the physical world, but the soul is coming from the spiritual world. Had to be a mix here. Atta oraita kameh, came the Torah in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and she said, Amra, Kamei Kudsha Baruch Hu. She stood, the Torah came in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and she stood in front of Hashem and said, Hai Adam Deat. Yeah, you can flip your pages. Bai Lemibre. This is the man that you want to create? The Torah is looking at the man that in the future should be the one who's going to serve Hashem and use the Torah. And the Torah coming and says, that's what you want to create? Zamin hu le'argaz hakamach. Why do you want to create him? He's going to get you very upset in the future with his actions. And he's going to go against me and do sins. And that's what you want to create? If you're not going to learn to forgive him, better don't create him. If you cannot develop the fact that you're going to have to forgive him because he's going to really get you upset with his actions, then don't create him. Save the headache. Kind of like the Torah is telling the Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't bother. Don't even bother because this man that you're creating now is future to go against you. Just better don't bring it even to the world. Amar lekutcha brichu, Kadosh Baruch Hu answered the Torah, v'chi lemagana et karev erech hapaim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is answering and says, why you think for nothing? I am called in the Torah erech hapaim. Erech hapaim, erech means very long, to before I get upset. I have a long patience before I actually get upset. And not only that, I am even willing to wait quietly for 20, 30, 40, 50 years till a wicked person will do tshuva. Basically what he's trying to say, since everything was already created, and the last thing that was created is man. And we know that everything was created from the Torah. The Zohar says in a different chapter, says, Istakel be'oraita ve'bara alma. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks in the Torah is the blueprint, and he created the world. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, first of all, I created everything, now it's time to create the man. And not only that, it says in the Torah that I will be very patient. This is one of the midot. If you remember, I mean, now for the last week, we didn't read the 13 attributes of mercy because of Chanukah. But if you remember, when we read the 13 attributes of mercy, one of them is Erech Apayim. Shashem Hashem, El Rechum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, V'Notze Chesed L'Alafim. It will be interesting to see how, pass me the Sidur, please. Let's see how it's translated in English. And slow to anger, right? Let's see. Slow to anger. Erech Apayim. Takes a long time to get Hashem upset. With us, 3 seconds, and the engines start. With Hashem, oh, you can poke him so many times before he will really get upset. Although it's not suggested to get Hashem upset, but Hashem says, no, I have patience. That's why it says in the Torah, Ella kola be'oraita itbari, everything in creation, what's called Maaseh Bereshit, including man, was created by the Torah. The Torah is literally the blueprint of the world. When Hashem wanted to create a world, he looked at the Torah, and we know the Torah preceded the world many, many spiritual years before that. So everything was created by the Torah. V'chola be'oraita ishtachlal. Everything in the Torah, everything in creation, from beginning till the end, everything was planned, created, and completed by the Torah. And not only that, even the creation of the world is written in the Torah. And the reason for that is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a confirmation. He looked at the Kadosh Baruch Hu looked at the blueprint, and approved it, an approval. He gave an approval. Okay, now let's go create the world. Meaning that everything that was created in the Torah, everything that was created in the world, first was already in the plan of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's like as if the Kadosh Baruch Hu consulted the Torah, and we know also the Neshamot, the souls of the Tzadikim, and waited. We know the Torah is the Chochmah of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the intellect part of Hashem. He was waiting for the Torah to agree, to say, yes, I agree with your plan, let's go ahead and create it. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, he had a dream, he had a vision. Of course, it's not in the level how we see things, dreaming or visioning. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world. So the same way here, you want to build a house, you go to an engineer, you go to an architect, and you tell the architect, that's how I want it. I want the rooms to look like this. I want the the design to look like that. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu had already an idea. But there was many things that were created before the world, the souls of the Tzadikim, many spiritual worlds, and especially the Torah. The Torah preceded the world. The souls of the Jews and the Torah preceded the world. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu was consulting with the Torah, sharing the information, and then looked in the Torah and says, okay, I approve. There's a, in this world, you know, in the bottom of the world, it says made by God, and there's a C, you know, the copyright. Can't copy this. This is it's made by Hashem. Now he comes into to explain the order of creation was done by the letters of the Torah. Begin the ad de la brakut shabrichu alma. Before Hashem created the world, Aton kol atvan kameh, came all the letters, ve'alu kol chad v'chad lemafreh. Each and every one of them came and stood in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when we're talking about the letters, we're specifically talking about each and every letter. There is a source to it in the heavens, in the spiritual world, for each and every letter. We just have in our mind the picture of the letter, but the source and the inner meaning of the letter is not just a symbol. I mean, it manifests into the world as a symbol, but there's a root for each letter. And before the world was already created, the letters started to come in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say it here, but they actually were fighting who's going to be used to create what. So we know, you know, the world was created with Yud, and each thing was created with a different letter. Maybe another time we'll go more deeply to understand or to explain what it means that the letters came in front of Hashem and that something was created with a letter. To kind of dig into it, each letter is, I would call it now, a spiritual machine that has the ability to create something. That's why when you put the letters together, that's the combination that Hashem did later. It creates more things. But it's almost like now coming and taking some type of a material, and if I mix two materials together, I will be able to build something with it. But the material is there. Let's say I want to build a house. The steel is already created. And the cement, I have to take sand, and I have to take water, and I have to take the actual cement and mix it. But I can take different materials and create something. I want to make something out of copper, out of gold, out of silver. The material is created already. Now take the material and create something with it. So the letters are the source of creation. Exactly like that. If you want to talk in computer language, the Torah is the source code. And I would even say that it's even more than the source code.
It compiles it.
Yeah.
And then renders the final product.
Yeah.
And then what does God do with all this?
He's the one who created the source code. And he's the one who's governing the components of the source code, and he's the one who's checking for the bugs and then fixes it. I mean, technology really, any form of technology can really teach us about the world above, how it's manifesting into the world. So that's why specifically in our generation, just think about it, that for 5,600 years, the world was exactly the same. They would travel on donkeys, They would plow the ground with the same machine. Everything was the same. Nothing changed for 5,600 years. Suddenly, in 100 years, from about 120 years ago, within 120 years from riding donkeys, we have satellites and space shuttles and missiles and iPhones. And because the gates of wisdom in the world in Shamayim opened right before the coming of Mashiach, so it started manifesting into the world. Forget about 120 years ago. Look at the technology we had 30 years ago and what we have now. The jump from the 80s to the 90s, from the 90s to 2000. Look at the technology we have now and what we had 7-8 years ago. 7-8 years ago, who had a GPS? It was a rare thing. Well, maybe, no. So maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago. I mean, nothing much changed. And look now, every Shmo has 5 GPSs in his phone. So we see that the technology is going in huge steps. So technology is the best way to really look at how it's built and to understand what's going on in the world above. So going back to the letters, it says that before the world was created, all the letters came in front of Hashem. And specifically, it came from the Sphira that is called Bina, because the root of all the letters, they rooted from the Sphira of Bina. They all came in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Sphirot were created before the world. And first came the Sphira of Chochmah, and we know that with the Sphira of Chochmah, the world was created. That's what I told you before, that the Torah is the Chochmah of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I would say that's the source. That's even before preceding the source code. But first came the Chochmah, which with that the world was created. As it mentions, as it says in the verse in Tehillim, Kulam bechochmah asita. We read that every day in Shacharit. That we say everything, Kulam bechochmah asita. Everything you created with Chochmah. And specifically it says asita because the creation had to come from the world of Asiyah. It doesn't say kulam bechokhma yatzarta or kulam bechokhma barata. Rather, it says kulam bechokhma asita, referring to that the creation comes from the world of Asiyah, not from the world of Yetzira, and not from the world of Bria. This world preceded the world. Now, the order, how the letters came in.
Asiyah and asita is the same source?
Yeah, ase, ein, sin, and hey. So you can see this. Where do you see another resemblance to that? When we wake up in the morning and we say Birkot HaShachar, one of the paragraphs we say Ata Asita, Ata Barata, Ata Atzarta. Again, we see Asiya, Yetzira, Bria. So whenever you see, you have to follow the words. And every time that it will refer to an action and it will be Asiya, Asiya or Asita, this comes from the world of Asiya. You know, that you will find in many places that it will say Barata or Yatzarta. You know from which world it came from. Now, in the beginning, the orders when they came in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the letters that came in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they came in a certain order. The Zohar says it came in the order of Tashrak, Taf, Shin, Reish, Kuf, meaning from end to the front, because Taf is the last, then Shin, then Resh, Kuf. It's meaning that they came from the end, not Aleph first came. Taf came first, then came Shin, then came Resh, then came Kuf. So they went from the end to the to below.
Why is that?
Why is that? Maybe we'll see if he says. Yeah, we'll see why. If he's going to even tell us here. It's just the Zohar. Sometimes the thing is that the Zohar, we're not learning a lot of commentary now, because if we're going to really sit on the commentary, then it will take us to do a year, one parasha. So since we kind of want to go through it, and we'll just throw a little bit of commentary, the Zohar tells a lot of things that doesn't make sense, or that there's no explanation. When you're learning at least the first stage of the Zohar, you just count on Rabbi Shimon that if he says something, that's how it happened. And obviously for now it's on a need-to-know base. But Bezrat Hashem, I want to put a lot of emphasis on the specifically on the teachings of the Zohar, because the Zohar is the source where we can really apply to the world the power to bring the redemption. It actually says besifrada, with this book, yifkun migaluta berachame, they will go out of exile with mercy. There's different places. There's a yeshiva that they have a 24 hours a day Zohar learning. They go around the clock.
Meron.
Yeah, not only Meron, but there's different places that they established a 24 hour a day learning Zohar. And Zohar is one of the most important things for us to learn now, and very few people actually do it, and very few people actually know how to learn it. So, this is just a little paragraph, and then we pray Arvit. I think Baruch is here too, right? We can pray with him.
Yeah.
Oh, Baruch. Roeh ve'eino nireh. It's like Hashem. I can hear you, but I can't see you. Tov. So, the letters came in. Now here we have an answer. See, I was quick to answer. V'atam shenichnesu lemafreya. Why did they come backwards? Meaning Taf, Shin, Reish, Kuf. Ki habina kibla et ha'otiyot ma'chokhmah b'seder yashar. Because Bina, the sphere that comes after Chokhmah, it received the letters in the right order. V'lefi shibchinat Nukba, since the Bina is considered a female part, female is always going to be a receiver. Chokhmah is Dukha, Chokhmah is the male part of the Sefirot, the Bina is the female part of the Sefirot. Since she is a Nukba, since she is a female, she chotam ha-mithapech, like a stamp. If you put a stamp, take now a stamp, stamp a paper, the stamp itself is backwards. Since Bina is the female, so it's backwards, so it got the letters the right order, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, but when it stamped it, it was the other way around. Huh? Nice answer. Lachen ha'otiyot shebahem lemafreya. That's why the letters in the order of Bina, they came the opposite way. You're not clear on that? So the Chokhmah was giving the Shefa to Bina. Since Bina is the receiver, it's almost like take now a paper and a stamp. So for now, our example will be that the stamp is Chokhmah, the paper is Bina. You stamp it,
it received it's... by way of a stamp.
Exactly. Exactly. It received it like a stamp. So when Bina presented the letters, it was the other way around. Which comes to tell us something very interesting, that the letters probably start from Taf and not from Aleph. This is Bechlal, the whole concept of the world, that the world is upside down. Afuch. The world is, the whole creation is as a stamp. So really, in the world above, the order is completely different.
Like Shlomo was saying the other day, the eyes and the
way. Yeah, that's how also. You see now that the eyes, the vision actually sees everything upside down, and the brain translates it and turns it to the right side. So this is what the sages are saying. This world is a olam afuch, the upside down world. So we see, why is it olam afuch? Everything is the other way. That's why, by the way, one of the many reasons that when we lift up the Torah, everybody looks in, because the Torah is the same idea. The inner part of the Torah would be completely reversed. That should be also very interesting one time to write the Torah reverse and see what information we get. But really what we see the Torah, that's the stamp way, but it's not how it was original. So, and by the way, there's a whole story, I said a couple of times in different classes, that what we see in the Torah actually, that is the other side, and it's Moshe Rabbeinu, when the angels came against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were complaining, how come the Torah was given to a human being? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, you answer them. Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean answer them? I'm just going to get close to them, and they're going to burn me. So Hashem told Moshe, put your hand on my chair and just answer them. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu started asking the angels, the Torah is for human beings, look what it says in the Torah. Don't kill, don't steal, honor your parents. Telling to the angels, you have parents to honor.
Can you kill? Can you steal? Obviously it's for us. So the angels were like, let us see. That's not what we read. So Moshe Rabbeinu scribbled all the letters. And when they looked at the Torah, they're like, oh my gosh, you're right. We didn't even notice. So when we see the Torah, how we see it, the actual story, that's the scribbling of the letters. And the Zohar is the original way how it's written. That's why the Zohar is the secrets of the Torah. But it will be a very interesting way to test it, to write the Torah on a computer and flip the order and to see what we get. Could be. I have to ask Rabbi Glazerson. I think he's into all the codes, right? That's what I heard at least. I'm sure there's a computer software. I was actually, when I was last in Florida, I was hosted by Rabbi, I forgot his name. And he wrote one of the softwares of the Torah codes.
Harlan?
Excuse me? No, he's a Sephardi rabbi. He lives in Florida. Rabbi Daniel Matt. There's a few, so he wrote one of the softwares of the Torah codes. But anyways, let's go a little bit more further, and that way we finish the paragraph and can pray a bit. Amra kameh reutach lemibri bil alma, came the letter taf, instead of in front of Hashem, and said to Hashem, do you want to create the world with me? But it didn't come in by itself. And when it said, the letter Taf said to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, create the world with me, it didn't mean create the world just with me. Rather that I will be the main part and the rest of the letters can just join. And that at least the Torah should start with the letter Taf. Amar lelav, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. I can create the world with you. Devach zimnin kama tzadikah lememat. Why? Because a lot of tzadikim are going to, in the future, will die because of you. I don't want to create the world with you. And I don't want that the Torah, which is the tree of life, the Torah is called Etz HaChaim, that I don't want the Torah to start with a letter that includes in it death. Mavet, you write the word death, has taf in it. And more than that, you want to ask why the taf killed tzaddikim?
No.
Not correct, but not the world. But according to what the Kadosh Baruch Hu answered to Hashem, the letter Taf hints and shows about the concept of death. To the letter Taf. Dichtiv, it says in a pasuk, and this can be found in the book of Yechezkel, the prophet Yechezkel, specifically in chapter 9, verse 4. Vehitveta tayu al mitzchot ha'anashim, that you have placed a taf on the foreheads of people. You know, there are some mekubalim that they look at your forehead and they know everything, because on the forehead is all the letters that of all your actions, all your thoughts, everything. The Arizal, for example, was able to look at you and look in your forehead. And
Was that part of it where the tzaddikim was supposed to put it with ink, and the rashiim was supposed to have it on blood?
Yeah.
But then Hashem set it up so that everybody died, and the reason was that tzaddikim should have helped the other one, the rashiim, to do shuva.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Is that right? But that's not what I'm talking about. That's right. But here we know. We're not going to get into it, but the teachings of Kabbalah explains that every action that you do is written on your forehead. But it gets disappeared right away. And also your thoughts are like projected on your forehead. Certain things, they stay on your forehead. For example, one of the things that stays on the forehead for a long time is the act of charity. So when a person does an act of charity, then on his forehead there's a big tzaddik, and it stays there. And the tzaddik pushes away all sorts of bad, evil spirits, and all sorts of, that's why one of the reasons why we put the tefillin on the head. It says, V'Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, the name of Hashem is on your head, Yudke Vavke. This is something you can't do by yourself. So we put the tefillin on, it says, V'yiru kol amei ha'aretz V'yiru mimcha. All the nations would look at you and fear you, because the name of Hashem is on your head. So this maybe we'll explain it another time, but Hashem, Yechezkel says that you have put the letter Taf on the foreheads of many people. Utninan, and we learned in the Talmud, this can be found in Tractate Shabbat, page 55, Dichtiv, Umimikdashi Tachelu, and you're going to begin in my Mikdash, in my house of prayer, Al Tikre Mimikdashi, Ela Mimikudushai. There is a verse, Ma'amar Chazal, that it says you're going to have to start with my Mikdash, but the sage says don't call it Mikdash, rather call it Mimikudushai, the ones who are sanctified and holy, which is going about the tzaddikim. Uvegin kach, alma lo itbaribach, and therefore, since the Taf, this is Hashem answering the letter Taf, since you are hinting on the motion of death, I don't want to start the Torah with you. Please leave the room, let's see the next letter coming in. They had an addition, like the how do you call it, the producer and the director, the sitting, each one comes, does their dance, and yes, we'll don't call us, we'll call you. So Hashem was telling the letter Taf, I'm very sorry to tell you, I have a different meaning for you. I have a different agenda for you. Your agenda is going to be many different things, but not to create the world with. I mean, there's many different hints. I'm sure he's not going to go here now with every letter. But we know, for example, what does the letter of the Torah start with? With Bet, which is hinting on Bria, on creation. And there's many other explanations, specifically why Bet was created. The Arizal explains a very interesting way that the world was created. Bet has a roof, it has a bottom, it has a right wall, and one wall is open. And the reason why one wall is open is that the Yetzer Hara can come into the world. If the wall was closed, then the Yetzer Hara would not be able to come into the world. For example, when Mashiach is going to come, when he's going to complete the creation, then he's going to take the Bet and seal it. So that's why we see that some of the names, that we have different names for Mashiach, one of them is Menachem, because he starts with an open mem and finishes with a closed mem. Mashiach is going to close the wall. That's it, the Yetzirah cannot come in anymore. So Dari explains very interesting ways, specifically on each letter. But here is just talking about the Taf. Since we have reached our time to finish, we're going to have to continue tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, and see where he takes us. But at least we got an idea how long it takes us to do a short paragraph. Bezrat Hashem, we should continue tomorrow. And same time, same setup. רבי חנניה בן הקשה אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא זכות את ישראל לפיכך ירבה להם תורה ומצוות שנאמר אדוני חפץ סימן צדקו יגדיל תורה וידיר.